If you'll notice this morning, we have a whiteboard here. Can everybody see this whiteboard? So I asked Bruce if he would help me out this morning a little bit with this. I'm going to ask you to tell me some labels, so you can write that down there on the top now. Labels that you've heard people call, like, from other people. Like, for example, oh, she's a divorcee. Or, he's an addict. Or a label, a negative label. So I would like you to throw some labels at me. You can write addiction down there, Bruce, if you would, addiction, or, addiction. If you want to write divorce, you can. But I need about four or five of them. So give me some labels. You don't have to share one that maybe somebody's put on you, a label that somebody, but if you've heard somebody that's been labeled a certain thing, give me four or five, if you would, this morning.
Gossip.
Okay. Okay. What's that? A bigot, okay.
Alcoholic.
An alcoholic, okay.
Liar.
How about a failure? You're just a failure. Use that one.
Stubborn.
Ooh, okay.
Stupid,
okay. Those are the kind of things how many of us heard a parent, like at Walmart or someplace, to their child, you are so stupid. That gets into it. So think about maybe that too. Think about somebody who has said something negative to their child. So what, Iona, did you have one?
Yeah, hard-headed.
Okay, stubborn. Okay. Give me a couple more. Anybody?
Impulsive?
Arrogant.
Okay.
Don't ask me how to spell
it. I know, pressure's on.
Hey, that's good.
That's why Bonnie's not doing it. Okay. That's good, Bruce. Thank you. Did you have enough room for all those?
Sure.
Okay, so you can go ahead and have a seat. We can all look back at times in our lives when we've been put in a position where we've been tempted, or we've compromised, or we have allowed ourselves to let our guard down, and we've had this temptation, and we followed through with that temptation. What do we call those things? We call them mistakes. So it is easy to be defined by our mistakes. Sometimes we're impulsive.
I failed at my business. I'm a failure. I gave it all I had. I gave it all my blood, sweat, and tears, and this business still didn't pan out. I'm a failure.
Okay? And the thing is about all these here, and some of the ones that maybe as we go through this message today, you're going to go, oh yeah, I remember somebody saying that they labeled me as this. I'll be quite honest with you. When I was a little child, I came from a family of 12. We had nothing. We had absolutely nothing. I mean, any clothes I ever had were given to me. I don't remember ever having anything new, except maybe Easter. I remember Easter. My parents would go out and buy me those little black shoes for Easter, But as far as, we had nothing new. And I remember being joked or teased because we had nothing. And also, because of my vision, they weren't Coke glasses, but they were pretty close. And I always got called four eyes, all the time. Some of them would say, are you as blind as a bat? Stuff like that. And so those labels, those negative labels get put on us. But the thing is this. the accuser, the old Diablo himself, Satan, would love, love, love to remind you every single day of those labels that people have put upon your life or you've put upon yourself. He will remind you every day, and the thing about that is, the reason he does that is he wants you to have that condemnation. He wants you to carry that label with you always. And when he does that, what he's doing is taking your focus off of him and putting your focus on those labels, those negative labels that you've experienced in your life. So he wants you to live in that condemnation. But that mistake that you have done is not a part of God's plan. You know, it's not that it stops God. It does not stop God's plan in your life because of a mistake or many mistakes. You may have failed, but you are not a failure. These mistakes do not define who you are, and those same mistakes do not determine your future unless you let them. So, we cannot allow the labels such as divorce, addiction, a failed dream, a failure, that we allow those things to be a part of our everyday life. We can't let those things affect us and put us into a state of condemnation, of guilt and shame. Okay? Because why? They're negative labels. And if we continue to wear those labels and use these labels, it will keep us from fulfilling what God has for each one of us. How many of you are baseball fans in here this morning? Anybody? Okay, good. Because some of you will know this person. If you are a baseball fan, you may remember the name Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner. He was a star player for the Boston Red Sox many, many years ago. He made more hits than Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams. And one season, he won the batting title and had the highest batting average in all of baseball. And he was also a great team player, and he was also the leader of the clubhouse at that time. In 1986, there was a World Series that he played in. He went after a slow ball that came into the field, and the ball literally went right through his legs. Right through his legs. The fans, when that happened, that particular play, it tied the game. This is a World Series we're talking about. It tied the game because the Red Sox were ahead, but when that happened, it tied the game, and then the opponents ended up winning that World Series. So the fans were so upset and so disgruntled that they never let Bill let it down. They never let him forget it. He became known as the player that missed the ground ball. So despite his illustrious career and all of his hits, all of the runs he scored, they didn't remember any of that. All they remembered was the one bad play, that one mistake. Bill Buckner, he passed away in May of 2019. 33 years later after this game, 33 years later after this game, he dies, and this is what the first line of the National Association of Press article wrote about Bill Buckner. This is what it says. A star batter who became known for one of the most famous players, as one of the most famous players in baseball, it says that, you know, he made a mistake, that he was only known for his mistake that he made. Even though the first line, it says here, the National Association Press article for Bill, a star batter who became known for one of the most infamous plays in baseball. That was the first line of that article. Known for most infamous play of baseball, in baseball. That's a label that was put on him. You see, people are going to try to define us by our mistakes. They will try to stick labels on us and remind us of all the times that we messed up, that we failed, the times that we compromised or made a wrong choice or made, we went through a season in our life where it was all about me and what I wanted to do. Okay? They're good about remembering what the mistakes that you made, not your victories, but your failures. So like Bill, despite all the good things that we do for others, the sacrifices that we make for others, and how we want to honor God, some people are still going to look and point to the mistakes that we have made. When you go through these bad seasons, some people want you to walk in that condemnation. They want you to continue walking in that condemnation. Now, I'm ashamed of myself this morning because I remember having a conversation about somebody, and it wasn't a positive one. And it was me. I said it. I've got some work to do. So I'm preaching to me this morning, just as much as to you. The enemy uses people, and we can't stop them from putting those labels on them. We can't stop them from doing that. You know, the first thing that came to my mind is my little granddaughter was talking about that she had been, she's up from Tennessee visiting her cousin. She was talking about the fact that she was being bullied. When she said that, I knew what message my message was all about. I knew when she said that, I knew what I was supposed to do. And the impact of that bullying, that what it did for her, what it did to her. So what can we do to take those labels off? Instead of continually wearing those labels, what can we do to get rid of those labels? Well, we can start saying, I'm not defined by my mistakes. I'm defined by what God says I am, who God says I am. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. My past is over. My mistakes are behind me. My failures, I love this, my failures are in my yesterday. My failures are in my yesterday, and I'm not going to bring those mistakes, those failures into today. Because I know that God's mercies are renewed every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So I today receive that mercy and that grace because of the blood of Jesus. These mistakes and the times that we blow it, they are all covered under the blood of the Lamb. God promises that to all of us. He's no respecter of person. And we know that life, most of us are here, we're half over our lifespan this morning. So we know life is short. So let's let the past be the past. Our mistakes do not stop God from giving us his blessings, his favor, to allow us to start and complete the plan, the purpose that he has for us. Our mistakes do not stop him. Here's a good example of that. In John chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. After Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, he appeared to some of the disciples, and they were meeting in a room. Thomas wasn't there at the time, okay? But after Jesus left, the disciples went out looking for Thomas to tell Thomas that they had saw the Lord. So in the next verse, 25, of course, Thomas wasn't going to buy it. He, you know, hey, Thomas, we saw the Lord. Thomas wasn't going to buy that. And this is what Thomas said. Unless I see him with my own eyes, unless I feel the nail prints in his hands, I am not going to believe. Then it goes to the next verse, or verse 28. 8 days later, all the disciples were in the room. Jesus came walking through the door. He went up to Thomas, held out his hand and said, See the nail prints? Feel the scars in my side? What's Thomas do? He falls to his knees and he goes, Lord, I believe. Now listen to this. What's interesting is Thomas doubted that one time. That one time in his life he doubted. He became known as Doubting Thomas. That's the label that was put on Doubting Thomas. People have stuck that label on him, and you would think that he doubted all of his life, that he always had an issue with questioning his faith. But this was just 7 or 8 days of his life where he doubted. He doubted. It's easy to judge people by one mistake. It's easy to let one failure define who you are. So the thing is, when we think about somebody defining you, putting a bad label on you, defining who you are, ask yourself, am I doing that to myself? Am I doing that to other people? Sometimes we're the hardest on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves than other people are on us. And we have this label that we put on ourselves that we don't even realize that we do. So if Thomas would have worn that label, a doubter or a failure, he would have missed the plan and the purpose that God had for him. But he refused to wear that label. He refused to wear it. You know, we hear a lot about Doubting Thomas. But listen, what we don't hear about Thomas is that he was one of the, he was the disciple that took the gospel to India. They also believe that he took the message of Christ further than any of the other disciples. And you ready for this? They say that in India, many, many, many of the believers, the children when they were born, the male children that were born, they named them Thomas. Why? Because of the impact that that disciple had on that group of people. They honored Thomas because of his faithfulness of bringing the gospel to India, and many children were named Thomas. So some might call Thomas Doubting Thomas, but God called Thomas Believing Thomas, called him Forgiven Thomas, Anointed Thomas, Favored Thomas. So in the same way this morning, God is not judging you by one mistake, by one bad season in your life of 8 days or whatever, or that you compromised, or that you failed in a business, or that you went through a season in your life where you were so much more in the world than you were in God, or that you walked away from God. You were a backslider. There's another label. We got to stop beating ourselves up with these labels. Why are we wearing these labels that people have stuck on us? Why have we settled with these labels and walked with them? You know, God has an incredible future for each and every one of us. I don't care how old you are. God has an incredible future. And it doesn't make any difference how many mistakes you've made. You have not missed your chance. You have not made so many mistakes that God cannot use you. If we will remove the labels that are telling you or telling us everything that we are not, and how we blew it, how we doubted, how we failed, those things are now in your past. You need to take all of those things. Here's a box for the past, here's a box for the present, and here's a box for the future. Well, here's the present. You need to take all of those negative labels and you need to put them in this box that says the past, and you need to leave them there because they're no good to you in the future box. And until you take them out of that present box and put those negative labels in the past box, you cannot move on to the things God has called you to do because you're so focused on those present labels. We need to do ourselves a favor and take off those labels and put on what God says about us. That we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we are blessed, that we are qualified to do what God's called us to do. Not because of who we are, but because whose we are. when we realize that it's not who I make myself to be, but who God has made me to be, we are going to be also then victorious. We're going to be overcomers. Sometimes we even make mistakes, even good intentions. We may have done our best, but the relationship didn't make it. You gave it all you had, but the business just didn't succeed. So with that this morning, oh, we've only got a few minutes here, 10 minutes. Mary, would you, everybody that I gave scripture to this morning, we're going to talk about the labels that God has put on us. He said, you are loved. Mary, could you read yours out of Jeremiah 31:3? And go ahead.
The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.
Bruce, would you come up and erase one of these off the board, this negative, and write love on here? You can leave the word labeled up there. Just erase one off of there and put loved. Who's got 1 John 5:4? Allison? Overcome. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Lois, 1 Peter, and that's overcomer. That's the one that Allison just read, overcomer. And then Lois has got chosen. We are a chosen people. Yes, we are a peculiar people as far as the world is concerned, but to God we are a chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9. Lois?
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Okay, Eleanor, God's own. We are God's own. 1 John 4:4.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Okay, Bill, Romans 8:16. We are God's child.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Caroline, Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed. We have been delivered, set free, and are redeemed from the curse of the law. Go ahead, Caroline.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is on the tree.
Thank you. Tim, salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
Okay, I didn't have you, because of time, I did not do these others, but would you write down the rest of these for me, Bruce? Saved. Do you have room?
Sure.
Okay. Forgiven. Anointed. Righteous. Thank you. You probably got the board full. Okay. How about the salt of the, or the light of the earth, the light of the earth? So as he's finishing up, like Thomas, our hearts are in the right place. We love God. But maybe we didn't handle that situation the way we should have. Last night I had a situation, and I go, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to do it. I'm just sitting here, and I'm so, you know, like, I don't know how to go about taking care of this. Do you want me to take care of it? That's the first thing we need to do, is go to God and ask him for guidance. So maybe, you know, I had to make sure that whatever I decided was the right thing. Not for me or for some, you know, but what God wanted. So let's talk about Moses. Moses was a young man that God had given him a dream to deliver the Israelites out of slavery, and he knew he was supposed to do it. But he got ahead of God. And why do you say that? Because what happened was, is he saw, Moses saw one of the slaves being abused, mistreated by an Egyptian supervisor, and he didn't think anyone was watching, so what did he do? Moses killed him. So Moses wasn't trying to make a mistake. He just thought that was part of the plan that God wanted him to, you know, step in and say, no, you might be an Egyptian supervisor or a soldier, but you don't have a right to mistreat a slave. You know, God doesn't want you to do that. No. So he got ahead of God in that situation. So he made this mistake, and he wasn't being defiant. He just thought that was part of God's plan. He just made a bad choice. And because of that bad choice, he fled for his life, and he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Okay? And it looked like this one mistake was going to stop him from fulfilling the destiny that God had for him. That this one mistake, this one choice, would disqualify him from doing what God told him he wanted him to do. But God doesn't judge us by one mistake. He doesn't judge us by two mistakes. And for some people, he doesn't judge us by our 10,000th mistake. God doesn't change his mind about the destiny that he has for each one of us because of our mistakes. We may count ourselves out, but God has already counted us in. We must remember that we did not choose God, but God chose us. First, the mistake, the compromise, the choice does not define who you are. It's what you did, and it's not what you did. It's not going to cancel that destiny that God has for you. That one bad season does not determine the rest of your life. God came to Moses when he was 80 years old and said, Now, Moses, it's time to go deliver my people. God doesn't define us by our mistakes. But listen to this. God does refine us in our mistakes. He refines us. He will take those failures, those wrongs, and use them to work in us and through us. Moses became one of the most humblest men on earth out in that desert. He learned to be patient. He learned to trust God. He learned to wait on God. And like Moses, yes, we blew it. We will blow it. We'll continue to blow it at times. And we will feel like we are out in that desert and that we are all alone. And that our best days are behind us. And they are not. Our best days are ahead of us. So get ready. I'm telling you, get ready. Because it's coming. God is about ready to do a great thing in you. And then when he starts doing that in you, which he is doing, I see it. Mary pointed it out very well last Sunday. The year before, we had a handful of men. We didn't even have enough room for all of you men up here. That's God. It has nothing to do with me. That's God. God is starting a great work in this ministry, in this community, and you are all a part of that. Don't allow mistakes. Don't allow negative labels to get in the way of what God has planned for you. Do not listen to those labels. Do not have Satan remind you of those negative labels. Not every silent season comes from the enemy. Not every desert experience or times when we feel like we've messed up or we're alone. God is doing something good in you. We are a part of the body of Christ. And every one of us have a part to play in that body of Christ. And everything that you do, that God has called you to do, is just as important as the next person's. So when we are going through these hard times of feeling like we failed, it is easy to think, I don't have God's favor right now. Or I'm not qualified. No, we need to continue standing in that faith, that faith is the substance of the things that we hope for and the evidence of the things that we do not see. And because maybe God is about to take us, you and I, from this faith level to this faith level. And when God takes you from this faith level to this faith level, he is going to do a new thing, a big thing. How many of us this morning want to be a part of that? Every one of us. It has nothing to do with how old you are or any disabilities that you have. God used Moses, he used Abraham, he used David, and we know there's many, many others, women, Ruth, Deborah, Esther. God used people that you would have never thought he would have ever used. Other people may judge you about who you are, what you did, what you said, and that you are finished. But God has the final say. What we think is a failure might be just a desert experience. Like I said earlier, it's not that, right here, it says, it's not the fact that it's a refining time, that those mistakes are just a time to refine us, to prune us back. I have a line of pine trees in my yard that I just got done having Gio come and clean them out. And for 2 days, branches are laying on the ground, literally laying on the ground because they're so big and it's so heavy. And I've spent 2 days in there with a sawzall cutting the lower branches. And now the branches are about that high off the ground and I can actually see underneath. But like my neighbor Kyle said, when you cut back and prune them back, it helps the rest of the tree grow. And that's what happens to us. When God prunes us back through our mistakes or through these experiences of feeling like we're in the desert and we're alone, what he's doing is he's pruning us back so that we can grow and flourish and do and fulfill what God has called us to do. And I have to laugh because my neighbor, because of behind those pine trees, he has a shed, a real nice building back there, storage building, but he's had things accumulate, you know, and he's not mowed his grass and stuff. Well, now that I've got that all cut, he is back there now, just getting things all in order, making it look nice, because now when I come out and I look at my line of trees, I can kind of see through my trees and I see what's back there. And he had his weed eater out and they were back there cleaning that all up. And he said to me, he says, you know, you're making me look bad. You're making me look bad. So this morning, I want you to leave here. But when you leave here this morning, I want you to gather all those ugly labels. All those ugly labels. And I want you to come up here, or even here, if you don't want to take the steps, you're going to lay them at the foot of the cross. You're going to lay those labels at the foot of the cross, and you're not taking them home with you. I won't let you. And in its place, I want you to take these labels home. Take these labels home, but not only take them home for yourself, hand them out. Hand them out. Father, as we leave this service today and as we go into a new week, a new month, let us reflect not only on the labels others have put upon us, but let us reflect on who you say we are, that we are loved, we are a child of God, we are overcomers, we're chosen people, we're the salt of the earth, we're saved, we're righteous, we're forgiven, we're anointed, we're favored. We are yours, and we thank you, Father. We thank you that you have labeled us, and we will go by that label in Jesus' name. Let us stand.